Okay, are you ready? This is a portal punch. Boom! Whoa! And we say, glory come down. Glory come down. Glory come down. Glory come down. Boom! Come on! Boom! Whoa! Glory come down. You gotta cut a hole. Sometimes you gotta cut a hole. Boom! Cut a hole. Boom. Glory come down. Glory come down. Come on. Whoa. And we're just gonna rest in the glory. All around us. It's all around us. Because I love you. You love me. 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 Portal punch. Come on. Portal punch. Whoa. Open up the heavens. Glory come down. Glory come down. Glory come down. Glory come down. Glory fill this place. Glory fill this place. From in one end of this property to another. Angels come down. Jesus, send your angels. Jesus, send your angels. Now, yesterday we talked about speaking in tongues and how sometimes you have a different tongue come out in times of worship like this, because this is going to get wild. So we're going to do lion, and you might have a roar, because a roar. I want you to think about that. You remember the Chronicles of Narnia when that movie came out? I went to the theater and watched it, and that lion came out. Did you see him?
Yeah.
Whoa, my Lord. He came out, and everything on him moved. Everything, every hair moved. And he shook his head, and he came out. Oh, my goodness. And he stood there like, oh. Man, you remember? Just go back to that. We're going to do glory to God. Victory is right. Whoa. Glory. Broko shoria andarie. Broko shoria andarie ki o broko shoria andarie. Hi o ko broko shoria andarie ki. O lion of Judah roar. Hari andarie ki o broko shoria andarie. Hori andarie ki o broko shoria andarie ki. Hi o andarie ki. Hori andarie ki. Hori andarie ki o broko shoria andarie ki. I'm just going to tell you a little bit about fire camp. Just stand up, because this is war. So I just want to tell you a little bit about it, because this was not our idea. About 20 years ago, we started training kids in the prophetic, how to hear the voice of God, angels, prophetic art, healing. I always forget the five. I go, oh, there's five. Dreams. Yes. Thank you. This is why Janet is right here. Thank you, God, for Janet. Oh, what a blessing. We started doing this, and it was funny, because about, I don't know, 5 or 6 years in, I was like, Jesus, you know, no, it was actually more like 10 years in, you know, I was like, Jesus, you know, we call it fire camp. Maybe we should change the name, because we don't camp anywhere. We don't, you know, we don't take the kids and go camping. We're in a church. We're doing this thing. And it's not like our normal camp. And he said, Stephanie, do a word search on camp. Because I know what fire is. Holy Ghost. Yeah. Right? Camp. Camp is a war term. He said, you're at war for this generation. Yes. And that generation means from the babies to the 120-year-olds.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
This, everyone that's alive right now, we're at war. We're at war, not with them, not with people. We're at war against principalities and powers in high places,
right?
And our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Everything that exalts itself against the one true God. Glory. Amen. So fire camp was really hard, because it didn't matter whether you had 5 kids or 50 or 300. Which is what happens. It's hard work. It's a lot of work. So I was complaining one day. So get this. I put my car is in the shop. My vehicle of ministry is in the shop, getting fixed. And then Stephanie goes on a walk to get herself fixed. I'm complaining. Jesus, this is so much work. What's going on? Why do I have to do this hard work? I walk past a sign that says, Harry Potter VBS. And I said, I got down. I will never complain again. Whatever you want me to do, okie dokie. Yes. Alrighty, Roger that. Yes. 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 10-4. Affirmative. Yes, sir. I'll copy that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So we continued to do it. Yes, it was continued. It was hard work. So what? So was war. And you lay down your life and your own thoughts about it. And you fight for the goal. Because we love this. And you reap what you sow. So then your life becomes fire camp. And then you start roaring like a lion. And then you get really going. Okay. So I'm just commissioning all of you to pray for fire camp. We've taken fire camp to Nepal, haven't we? Brother, sister, Frank and Kathy. We did. We took it to fire. We took it to Nepal. We didn't call it that necessarily, but we had things happen. When lightning happens, that's an exclamation point from God.
Come on, sister,
yep. Yep. What?
I was going to say that strange snow, like ball snow.
Crazy.
Was that the year you were doing?
That was the year we were doing. If you will remember, we were prophesying over that year it happened twice. Once we were in, before we went to Nepal, we were in Wheat Ridge. And I just turned to prophesy to a girl going to Nepal. I didn't know she was going to Nepal at the time. Turned to prophesy to her. We had a prophetic word. We had been giving her prophetic words. And we were prophesying to her. We turn around to really prophesy and pray over her. And boom, the transformer blows. Starts a literal fire on the ground outside. The firemen come. We kept praying. We prayed over her. And then I said, okay, now we probably should go outside. So we go outside. The fire trucks are there. The firemen. We got a picture with all the fire people. You have to prove this thing sometimes, you know. You're like, this really did happen. Then we go to Nepal. Kathy, come here. This is my drunk friend, my missionary drunk friend. Because sometimes you just need to get drunk to go through everything you're going through in Nepal. So here we are in the high Himalayas. Frank could tell us exactly where we are. So he could tell you right where we are. But anyway, we're up there, high Himalayas, you know, and we're watching our dinner come in the form of a chicken, a full, beautiful chicken. And that's going to be our lunch, which was wonderful, by the way. But we're watching all of this stuff from the high mountains, you know. And it's beautiful. It's cold. Our place where we stayed is like gun smoke. You can see through the floorboards.
Oh, yeah.
It's not warm. Oh, it's not warm there.
No.
It's colder than I'll get out. You have a, you know, you zip up in a bag.
It's damp.
And it's damp.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're having this meeting. And, of course, it's my turn. Now, listen, I'm a woman in Nepal. We're women in Nepal.
Yeah.
Right. There's already a problem. Because we're going to listen.
Yeah.
And we're not going to stop. So, we call out this young man. And you saw the picture. And the picture was about him going through trees or something, walking through a forest, but surrounded by trees, right? Something like that. I know, it's been a long time. A lot of water under the bridge.
Yeah.
Anyway, I turned to prophesy. This is what the Lord is saying. boom.
Right, right. More than, yeah. More
yeah, there were four total.
Yeah, yeah.
So we had one lightning strike, and I said, okay. And then I stopped, and I said, okay, this is an exclamation point from God. Okay. Boom! We're like,
yeah.
Okay, all the men in the building need to come forward and need to surround this young man. We're going to prophesy. But I mean, it became like, oh my goodness. And then boom! And then boom. We keep prophesying. We keep prophesying over the pastor. Many pastors had walked four and 5 days to get there over, what's in the Himalayas? Mount Everest.
Yeah.
We're not talking walking across flat ground. We're talking the old ancient paths across these mountains. It starts to, I can't remember if it rained or snowed first.
I think it might have rained. And then
it rained.
Yeah.
Then it started to kind of hail. It was There were four things. Four lightning strikes and four things. Rain, sleet, sleet.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it was snowballs.
Yeah, it was balls.
It was
the weirdest thing.
We had never seen it. We had never seen it.
No.
Then it just full on snowed.
But then they had never seen it. It doesn't really snow at this
No.
For some reason there's places you'd think it'd be snowing there, but it doesn't. And so this was like 20-year thing.
It was a 20-year thing. We find out the next day because of the whole language thing. We find out all the kids that we trained had never seen snow.
Yeah,
never.
Yeah.
All
they
the kids.
Just don't know.
Wow. The adults that were in the room, while we're trying to prophesy, we lost the room real fast. Because they're like, and everything's open air. Everything's open air. So you're like, and they're like, okay. And so I was like, okay, we just need to go outside and give glory to God. And then we just closed down the meeting. But then I sat down because I was shook up. You know, four lightning strikes in a row and then all of that. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, God's on this. And so we didn't know and had that wonderful chicken dinner. We go the next day and we find out because of the language barrier that these people had not had snow at all for 14 years.
Wow.
7 + 7 is 14. I mean, we were like, what? Really?
And so some of the, of course, none of the kids had even seen snow.
No.
They were going crazy.
They were going
Yeah, yeah.
It was a snowball fight.
Yeah.
And the pastors that had never seen snow, they were just like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah.
So this is what's on fire camp. Now, that's just in another country. We saw things here in this country this year. Praise God. Right? I'll let you tell the story of Gus sometime, Janet, because, I mean, we have seen, we just we just believe that God is on the move. Now we've learned that we train the adults first so that they'll keep it going. And then we train the kids, okay? And the kids begin to prophesy right off the bat. It's amazing. If you've never been prophesied or had hands laid on to be healed by a child, just watch out. It's going to happen. We're training an epigeneration. It's true. It's true. So, because it's a pure gift from heaven. And they are pure. They don't have this religious mindset. You tell a child you're going to raise the dead, they're going to do it. They're going to say, give us a dead person. And we're like, well, right? No, church occupy. We have to occupy. We can't just speculate and teach. We have got to go and occupy. Okay. So our job is to raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out demons, and cleanse the leper.
Hallelujah.
Right?
And greater works than these.
And greater works than these. Because we will do it. You will do it. We believe we're going to raise the dead. We believe we're going to heal the sick, and we're going to cast out demons. Amen. All right, let's just line up. Give us our orders today, Lord. Give us our orders. We want to march in your understanding, in your army, and we want to be a warrior of the Most High God. We want to put on, I love what Michelle and Loretta said this morning. We got the full armor on. We got our boots on, right? We got our armor. Say it.
I said, we've got our boots on. We are going forward. We have the authority to go forward, and we're not backing up for nothing.
No, we're not backing up. We're not backing up. Broko Shuriaki. I want to camp in the army of the Lord. I want to camp in the army of the Lord. I'm looking for a tabernacle that's built not with human hands. I'm looking for that tabernacle. I'm looking for that place. I want to be in that war. I want to be with those angels that are warring over this city, over this nation, over my state. I want to walk into my grocery store and the Spirit of God come in with me and the atmosphere change in the entire store. I'm going to do a portal punch. I'm going to do a portal punch in my store. I'm going to do a portal punch and I'm going to change, see the atmosphere changed by the glory of God. Alright. You can be seated if you'd like to, but let me say, you know, we think of retreat. We think of this is a retreat where we come back when we get fed. But we don't go home and go, whoa, everything's just nice and glory. I just rested up. No, you're just getting your battle armor on. We're tightening up the ranks, tighten the belt, and we're going to go home, and we're going to pull out our sword of the word, our word of God. It's going to be different when we go back. Glory. Glory. Where do we retreat when we retreat? We retreat in the Spirit of God, right? We speak in tongues more than we ever did. We get drunk in the Spirit. We drink and take another drink. Do you remember the old Vineyard song? I just need another drink of the living water of life. I need, give me a drink of the living water of life. Give me another drink of the living water of life. Oh my goodness. Oh, because I'm thirsty, Lord. I'm thirsty. Give me another drink of the living water of life. Do you know the joy of the Lord is the biggest weapon we have? Did you know that praise is your battalion? Your guard, you put on the garments of praise. You go out and you win because you are praising God and he's doing the work. He's defeating the enemy. You give him permission to defeat the enemy. Glory. Glory. Oh, you're so good, Jesus. You're so good. You're so good. Let's put our hands out and let's receive what we're getting from Jesus today. Jesus, listen, this is not just for now. This is for every day of your life. You go home and you go, Jesus, here's my hands. I'm receiving from you. What are you putting in my hands today? What's coming from heaven? Angels ascend and descend, and we thank you, God, for the angels that you sent to this place with things from heaven. We glorify your name. We glorify your name. Did anybody feel anything in your hands? What'd you feel? Heat and heaviness. Yes, in Jesus' name. Thank you, dear. Thank you, Lord. What else? Come on, who else? Tingling. Yes. What else? Like a satchel? Like a bag. Okay, keep asking. That's good. That's a really good one. You've got your gear. Yeah, right? So, but ask the Lord, what's in my gear bag? What's in my military bag? Boots. Remember, they can be this big. Because Jesus packs better than anybody. Because when you put them on, they're the right size. Glory. It's not like the military where they make you carry this big lug sack. Jesus just As you can, what? Water?
Just add water.
Just add water. The living water of life. Glory. I'm thirsty, Lord. Woo. Glory. Glory. I was getting ready to go to Africa. I had these two monster bags because I carry in a lot of toys that these men make, you know, and I carry in all these toys, and I have these two big, huge bags. I carry them in. They weigh a lot. My husband takes me to the airport. He usually didn't do that, but he did this time, and so I was like, okay, Jesus, whatever. He takes me to the airport. We get up there, and he puts that thing up there, and it weighs something like 90 pounds, 90 plus pounds. And I'm like, okay. And Chris is like, what? No, this isn't, no, what? And I'm like, hold on. I have angels that lift. And I said, come over here. So we walk back over, and I shuffle things around so she can see me shuffling, you know, like, oh, here, Chris, take this, I don't need it. You know, it was some little thing, I don't even know what it was. Zip it back up, and we go over there, and I said, we have angels that lift, Chris. We go back over there. He's carrying them for me, so nice. He puts it up there, and he says, he looks at the numbers, and he watches them go down to 51. And that was with both suitcases. He goes, he's looking at me. He doesn't say a word. Because he's like, one of the times I was going to the airport, we were driving to the airport, and I'm like, Chris, you know I'm leaving for who knows where, probably Nepal. I'm going to Nepal. Oh, Africa. You know I'm going to Africa next month, right? You know this? He goes, well, I'm not. I knew in his heart he was wanting to say no, okay? So I knew what was going on in his head, but he had already said yes. He must have said yes in his sleep, because I heard it. And I said, I was probably Holy Spirit saying yes out of his mouth. And so I said, okay, I'm going to buy a ticket, because I bought, and so I did. And I said, okay, you know I have my ticket. And he's like, I'm not going to be the one that tells you no, you can't go. All of these words are, he's like, oh. I just sat there going, I heard you say yes. I know I didn't, I'm not sure I, yeah, well, I'm not going to be the one that says no. And so I just go, you know, and it's like, he's like on board by that time. But the angels that lift was a sign and a wonder to him. He's like, okay, guess what? The next time I hear that story, it's from a construction guy, because my husband works in, he sells timbers to construction guys. The next time I hear that story, I'm up in Vail, by Vail. I hear that story from a construction guy. He says, oh, are you the skewerman? Are you the one that has the angels that lift? Do you see why you need to know where angels are around you all the time? Yes. This is not, listen, our lives are not going to get easier. They're going to get more difficult. But only if we're not calling on Jesus. Okay? We need angels that lift. We need angels that accomplish. The Lord told me to ask for angels that accomplish. I ask for them. Holy Spirit, send me Jesus. Now, I don't talk to angels. I talk to Jesus. This is how we teach this in fire camp. We talk to Jesus because Jesus is the one who commands angel armies. He's the one. And I know, listen, Jesus didn't create angels for himself. What did he put around the throne room? Creatures. Because he likes crazy angels. He likes crazy things. Things we don't even know the names of. Seraphim, cherubim, right? Things like that. The four-headed creatures. Right? Crazy things. He likes that stuff. He's like, I'm all in. And they are around the throne. What are they saying? All day. Who did he create? Who did he create the angels for? It says they looked down upon us while we were being created, all the angels in heaven, because they knew this was their job. We are their job. God help us. Thank you for sending me angels. But we can ask, Jesus, send me an angel. I need help right now. All you have to do is, we were walking one time down a dark, dark alley in India. I say other countries because it's easier for us to imagine it being hard and not knowing how to get help. But, I mean, I know how to get help in America. My tire goes flat. I know who to call. I know what to do. I have to ask. Sometimes I have to ask Jesus. But, you know, when you're in another country, you have no clue. Plus, you don't speak the right language, right? So here we are walking down a dark alley. And I have this girl, my missionary friend there, who cut the path. God bless her. Her name is Nicole, and she always wore a blonde ponytail. We're walking down this dark alley, thinking we're taking a shortcut back to the hotel. We went out when it was light. We were going to take a walk because we'd been in an airplane or something all day, long bus, something. And we were like, we've got to get out. We go out. We were walking around. We're looking. First of all, we end up in the mosque. We didn't know we were in a mosque. We were like, oh, I think we're in a mosque. We better turn around. We turn around and we think, okay, it's starting to get dark. And so we start heading back to the hotel because we know it's dangerous. So we turn around, we start walking down this really dark alley that has walls on both sides. Anyway, we thought we were making a shortcut. Gonna get back before dark. We dead end into a bar. And there's men everywhere. And we are two women out where we should not be. We thought we were in the right place. We were not. We turn around. I said, oh my goodness, Nicole, aren't you so glad we have these massive angels with us? We just start walking and talking about the angels of the Lord that are with us and helping us, taking us where we need to go. We get back to the hotel. I take a snap a picture of our hotel, which they have these lights hanging down on the hotel. It's beautiful. I was like, look at this hotel. It's just beautiful. For India, it's beautiful. We snap a picture. And I get back home. Well, that night, we hear from a fire camper who, and her mom gets a hold of me and she says, Stephanie, today, she had gone into her room and was laying down she was just resting. And she all of a sudden gets up and she says, Mom, I saw a vision. I saw Stephanie and a girl with a blonde ponytail, and they didn't know we were traveling. Melissa gets a hold of me and she says, Stephanie, we are praying for you. What's going on? And I said, well, we're in India, blah, 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 you know. And so she tells me what happened, and I said, isn't that? So we're training the fire campers, and they are intercessors. Listen, we're all intercessors. We are all angel. Walking with angels, right? We are all doing this. We're all raising the dead, healing the sick, casting out demons. We get up to Kittredge, Colorado. Oh, I get home. I figure out the picture. I blow it up and I'm like, oh my goodness, look at this picture of this hotel that I took. There's this massive round orb, big, huge, around the whole hotel. We were like, look at this. We had massive angels. All you have to do is say, we agree with heaven. There's massive angels around us. Right? We agree. Yes is in my heart. Yes is in my heart. Yes is in my heart. This morning I was in the shower and I was like, yes, Jesus, if you want me to go where I can't take a shower, I'll go. I'll take a bucket bath again. I don't care. I'll go. Yes is in my heart. If you want me to stay right here in America, I'll stay here in America. The yes is in my heart. Okie dokie. Whatever. You betcha. I got my church trained. This church is so good. Yes. We say yes. Because we're called, you were born into this day to be a world changer. You are a world changer, and what Jesus is going to train you in is what you need for the very next thing. We were up in Kittredge. I'm just going to tell this story real quick because we believe in raising the dead. There was a dog that got, it was, you know, dirt roads up there. It's a lot of fun. We did the fire camp. We trained the kids how to raise the dead. We practice. I'll just say that. We practice. So we raised the dead. in class, and then the fire camp was done, and I don't hear this story for probably 6 months later. Anyway, the next day or the couple of days after, the kids watch this dog get hit on the street and killed. He's dead. He's laying there dead as a doornail. And the kids turn around to each other and they're like, hey. Because they all ran around town like a gang, you know. They were just like these kids, 10, 11, 12 years old. And they said, hey, we can do this. They go over there and they start praying for that dog until the dog raises again. Because you don't stop. If you're going to pray, you pray and you pray and you ask the Lord, bring them back in Jesus' name. Help them. You know, sometimes I think that we pray like that so that they'll come back just to receive Jesus and then they can go on to heaven or whatever. We don't know. But we're asking Jesus, right? The whole time. The whole time. Yes. And if you don't want to come back, I don't care. Go on to heaven. Because listen, you can't call me back. Don't call me back. I'm going. I'm on my way. I want to see the face of Jesus. But I got to get everything done now. I got to get everything done now that he needs me to get done. So I'm like, that's why I'm like full in. I'm going to get this done. Glory to Jesus. So we have angels. So Jesus, we just thank you. We join the prayer room in heaven. We say, Lord, that raucous, crazy prayer room where they're yelling the glory and the praises to God. We know it's not a quiet. Oh, it's not quiet up there. They're roaring like a lion. They're giving glory to the King. We agree with every declaration you're making from heaven right now. And we agree, Lord, that we're going to go out of this place having tools in our hand. Some of you already have tools. Somebody had a sword. Somebody had a bag. We know that God gives us a gear bag which is full of tools. Father, we ask, Lord, for more tools right now. We ask that you give us tools that we'll know how to do the things that you ask us to do. The sword is the word of the Lord. We want the word of the Lord to come inside of us, to become a part of us, to be the tangible word of God. We want it. Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Dreams are one of the best evangelism tool, dreams. Because we had a kid that come to fire. I'm just going to give kids stories because they're the best. We go to fire camp one day and we're in somebody's basement, Lynn Christensen's basement. And Janet, I think, is doing I don't know who was doing the dream class, but this kid comes in. We assume he's a Christian. We always assume everybody's a Christian. You know, we just dream like a believer. He comes in, we believe he's a believer, we just say he hadn't been there the night before and learned how to prophesy. So the next day, we are asking him if he has a dream. Janet's asking him, do you have a dream? He did. So I had a dream. So he was the first dream they did. So what the dream was, he says, I was going around the world in 80 hours, and I was searching a great treasure. And he said, it seemed like all night long. I was going around the world in 80 hours searching for a great treasure. Who's the great treasure? Jesus. So the teacher says, hey, do you know Jesus? Have Jesus in your heart? He says, no. Well, he's the great treasure. Would you like for him to come in your heart? Yes. Do you see how quick?
Yeah.
You don't have to go out and do a whole thing. You just say, hey, did you have a dream last night? Because the Holy Spirit's already dealing in their heart. On nightmares, I have one of my ladies, she said, you know, I have a family of neighbors down the street. They're having horrific nightmares every single night. I said, why do you think they're having horrific nightmares? Well, they are atheists. They hate God. And I said, oh, my God, those nightmares are merciful. They are seeing what they're headed to if they don't repent. They can flip that just like that. So just go see if the yes is in their heart. That's all it takes, right? The yes is in my heart. Yes. I don't have to lead you through a whole thing. All you have to do is say, yes, yes, Jesus. Yes, come into me. Take away all that garbage, right? So nightmares can save your life. Do you see why we say a nightmare is not from the devil? Because God is exposing the works of the devil.
Right.
Yeah. And God will show you how bad it really is.
Yeah.
Because there's hell to pay. If you're having a nightmare, you better go to God, because it's with warnings, like we just read from Job, right? Go to God. Lord, I want to know. This is self-deliverance. My dreams can be self-deliverance. Jesus, right now, I need to know what is going on. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for healing my heart right now. I'm not going to interpret my dream until you show me what is going on. There's so many angels in this room right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Mary, would you tell us what happened? Tell us in the night. Okay, in the night, she had a dream. Oh, thank you, dear. In the night, Mary had a dream, but she didn't know. Because I went over to the table and I said, Mary, did you dream last night? And she said, no, I don't think so. But then she was sitting there.
Right, and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, did I dream last night? I just remember conking out. And immediately, he showed me like a vision where I was standing. I had opened my mouth, and then this water started coming out. But it got so intense that it was blessed, you know, like just
flooding.
Over flooding, right. You know, like white after a point is coming so fast that it's white. And I was like, Lord. And I looked over at him. It was still just coming out. I was looking at him. He's standing there like grinning. Okay. Then I woke up.
She tells me this, and I said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Woo! Glory. Oh my goodness, what a picture. Glory. Out of my belly will flow rivers. That's for everybody here. If you forget a dream, the Lord will, yes, we receive it. Put it in my hands. Broko shori under the yaki. The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 When I am down, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, right? You think, oh my goodness, this looks horrible. You hear this news, it's horrible. Oh my goodness, there's been this attack, there's been that attack. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I strengthen myself in the Lord. I strengthen myself in the Word of God. I strengthen myself. So many times I see swords on people's backs. Don't let them just sit there. You yank them out. And you do war with the sword. It's just like in worship. We cut down the enemy. I cut down the enemy. I cut down the enemy. I have a worse. I portal punch. You love me. I love you. You love me. I portal punch a hole right here. A hole right here in the heavenlies. And you come down. You come down. Glory. 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 The sword of the Lord. You know what? Let's just do that. You know, we always think the sword is in our hand, but I actually think it's right here. Because it strengthens our back. It, like, gives us backbone. I want to be battle ready. I used to think in the last days, oh, Jesus, in the last days, I'll watch. You know, I'll sit over there because I don't want to be all in war. Now I'm like, let me at him. Let me at that devil. I know how wicked he is. I'm coming. I'm going to be battle ready. I'm battle ready. Do you have a dream? Okay, hold on. She's getting back. Okay, let's just put our sword on. Let's just put our sword on. It's back here. And we think, now we have a part to play in that because we sharpen, right? Yank that sword out and we sharpen it when we read the Word of God, when we say the Word of God out loud, when we quote the Word of God, we're sharpening. I'm sharpening it. And then I put it back in to its place. Notice it's right by my head. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
We believe the Word of God. We believe it.
We believe it. Mm-hmm. We act on it. Oh. We do it. We see it. We say it. We read it. We hear it.
Yeah.
We journal it.
Shekor.
What do you got, girl? Oh, yeah, we better have a chair.
Dream? Oh, wait, one second. Olivia? Or not Olivia. Your name? Yeah. Rayanne. Do you have a dream?
Yes.
Is it a short one? Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like we're... Oh, yeah, that's it.
It's the one you just reminded of this morning. Yes.
That's it.
Come on up. Come on. That's and just share just the dream, and we'll try to keep it 15 seconds maybe.
Okay, the dream was I was approaching, it was like a ride in an amusement park, but it was like a swinging ride that went like this. So there was a place that you would go, you'd strap yourself in like a harness, and it would swing this way, and then it would go up, and it would like at first it just looked like it would go out, and then I didn't see anything else, and then all of a sudden I saw it take me, I went in it, and I was just like, okay, it's going to take me around, but then it almost like it felt like a catapult, like it was taking me into the sky, and then I don't like rides and stuff, so it took me into the sky, and then my granddaughter, I saw her go on the ride. She was in there, and I was like, here, you know, it'll just be like this. And then all of a sudden, it launched her, and it was like a basket, and it launched her out in the sky in the clouds. I thought, oh my gosh, like, what did I just do? Like, I just put my granddaughter, who's four, on this ride.
Can I say 4-year-olds are the best in fire camp?
And then I saw a picture of a map, like an airplane map, like when you get in the airplane, and it's the flight patterns.
Oh,
and
my
goodness. And I saw that, I saw me in this basket, and then it was like launching, it was just like an arch and an arrow here, and an arch and an arrow there within the U.S. And then there was a short little arrow that went over into another
country. That's good. Wow. That's a good dream.
You can keep it. You can keep that just because in case.
That is such a good dream. Did you say me repeat that? What did you say?
No, no. No, I didn't say that. I said she could keep that.
Okay, she could keep that. Okay, yes. Okay, let's let somebody repeat it. Who wants to practice? You want to practice, Kim?
Oh.
You're on it, Rachel. I love you. Oh, my goodness.
So, Rayanne, first, you were on this ride, and you did mention that you don't like rides. And it was like that swing at Great America, except it catapulted, and it was a basket, so it came up, and then it shot out. Yes. And then after you, did you ride it, or did you just watch it?
I thought it was safe. No, I rode it, and I thought it was safe.
Okay,
and
so you thought it was, then you.
Then I thought, this is no big deal, and then I
Yeah, who's four? And then she got launched when she reached the top. into the clouds and was floating, and you thought, what did I do?
And then you saw the map.
Yeah, then you saw the map, the flight patterns map, mm-hmm. and you would watch the ride with arrows launched to specific, with arrows, places in the United States. And finally, the last short little arrow was just outside the United States.
Yes.
Northwest, south, or east?
You look at the flat map, the arrows are going towards
east.
Oh! Yes!
Wow.
That's, thank you, dear. Good. That's good.
So, Rayanne, did you feel like the Lord spoke to you through the dream? Did you get anything of it? What were your thoughts?
I felt like it might be twofold. I felt like I was on it, and then when I saw the flight, I felt like I was the one that was going to basket, and that maybe the Lord was giving me to launch me somewhere. But then I was overwhelmed with so much guilt by putting my granddaughter on a ride that would allow her to go so far away in the clouds all by herself. Mm-hmm. And so I was overwhelmed with guilt. Like, what did I just do? Who puts a child in this thing and then
launches them?
And they're out there all by themselves.
So
I felt like it was.
So when you woke up, did you have the guilt, or was the guilt in the dream?
It was just both.
Okay.
It's like, I think the guilt was the feeling right before I came out of the dream.
Okay.
Right before I saw the arrows.
Yeah. Yeah. Who gives this guilt? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So when you wake up with an emotion like that from a dream, you want to identify the emotion. Now, God, we know that there's a healthy fear of God, and we know there's a wicked fear. Right? Not a fear of God, but fear of man or fear of, you know, whatever, fear of something happening. So we don't want to participate with the spirit of fear, right? So there is offense. You can feel, oh my goodness, I've woken up feeling offended. So identify that feeling of guilt and you think, wait, who's the source of guilt? Does Jesus, even now after you're already saved, does he ever point back and guilt you in your dreams or anything like that? No. So our emotions can latch on to a feel, or any, you know, our emotions in the dream are important because we can feel something, but we have to remember, wait, is this from God or is this something that the enemy's trying to put on me, right? Mm-hmm. So we
or is it something that the Lord wants to heal in you?
True.
And Because when we have a dream, a lot of times what the people we see in the dreams are pictures of ourselves. And so if you have a granddaughter in your dream, it could be about
could
your
be
granddaughter. Yourself. It could be about her name.
Yes.
It could be about a part of you that may have some issues with being launched. Like, I may not want to go there. This is too scary for me.
I don't like these rides.
I don't like, she said she didn't like the ride. And the kingdom of God, there's some rides in there, you know. We get taken on some new rides, you know, and sometimes we do swing back and forth, but you were in a basket. Mm-hmm. A basket is a container,
indeed,
which is a pitcher
of your heart, concave. Oh, a
yeah.
gentle.
Oh,
basket.
A gentle.
It wasn't
yeah.
like a big basket.
Yeah.
It was more like a.
That's good.
Like a car seat feeling basket. Like it was more of a yeah. gentle like. Thing.
So you were being held.
Yeah.
You were being held. It's like a hand, like a shape of a hand.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Fingers stick out, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
Up.
Uh-huh.
Launch.
So.
Yeah.
So, yeah, sometimes the Lord is calling us to things that, I remember when I first went to the jail, you know, when I was called into jail ministry, it was scary, especially because somebody told me, oh, women are the hardest to minister
right.
in jail. They're the hardest,
right.
you know. I can't believe you're going in there, you know.
Right.
And I was going in by myself.
Yeah.
And it was scary. But you know, the minute I got in there,
yeah,
I was held.
Yeah.
You know.
And you're like right in the saddle again. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like here I am. Mm-hmm. Like when we go to a foreign land, mm-hmm. you go to a every time I'll be in the plane, I'll be by myself, you know, I'll be on the plane and I'll hear, "What are you doing? Where do you think you are going?" Yeah. And yet that's not God. Mm-hmm. Right.